Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're continuing our conversation with Anthony Combs. We are talking about the tragic Flight 5191 that crashed on the morning of August 31st, killing 49 people. His cousin and best friend, John Hooker, had just been married. A lot of you remember the story just the night before, less than about 12 hours before, had been married to his sweetheart, Scarlett, and they unfortunately were part of the victims of that plane crash. And we shared about all that yesterday and how Anthony got support from his church family, and even though it was painful, God was still there because of followers of Jesus that wrapped their arms around him and hurt because he hurt with him and his family. But today we want to get on the hope side of things. And I've heard Rick Warren say a lot of times, Anthony, that God never wastes a hurt, and obviously you had to take time to grieve, and it's been 12 years since then. But I would just like for you to share with people, I've had a front row seat to see what God has done in your heart and your life, and how you've honored John's life, and his legacy lives on through you. But if you will, just share with people about how you've tried to turn, instead of being a victim, that you're using this for victory for Jesus.
Well, Greg, I think it all started with the night of the crash, that I was invited over to a church in our hometown, and they wanted to just pray over our family. They said, we can't really do anything, but we can pray, which, I wanted to be thankful for the offer and honor that. So they brought us in to pray for us, and these people surround four or five of our family members on the altar. And at this point in this time, I'm still extremely angry. I mean, we're less than 12 hours removed from the crash, and I was like, you hear people say all the time, well, thanks for your thoughts and prayers, but why don't you do something about it? And that's where I was. So when I see people post that today after a tragedy, I totally get it. I understand why you feel that way, because you're not really in your right mind when you're in that state of shock, like we talked about yesterday. But as I'm sitting there and these people are praying for me, I just remember a calm and a quiet come over the building, and God just telling me, you stand up and you worship me today. Which is like, hey, I'm going to take everything you have, and you're never going to get it again, and you're going to thank me for that. No, I'm not, selfish, proud me is, no, I'm not. I don't owe you anything. And he starts reminding me, he said, you've been calling yourself a worship leader and a minister of the gospel, and you've told people that I've got plans for their future, to give them hope and to prosper them. And, you quote all these scriptures, and did you ever really, really mean it until it came true for you? And I was like, now don't bring that into the situation, because I was doing that because you told me to do it. So I'm having this wrestling match with God.
Isn't that the cool thing, that you can do that? Lightning didn't strike you, that you were able to wrestle with God over your anger and your hurt, and God was okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm having this fight with him, and I'm determined. You know me. I'm going to win. But he broke me down, just like he did with Jacob. He crippled you, locked your hip up, and he said, I'm going to win because I'm on the throne. John, who you prayed for years, gave his life to Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of his life, and he's beside me, and he wouldn't come back now for anything. And all of a sudden it starts making sense. And he says, I want you to stand up, and I want you to raise your hands and lift my name on high. And I did, man, and it was literally like, actually, because you and I had already talked, because I was supposed to leave worship at church the next night, and you're like, no, I think probably not a good idea. And as soon as I got to that church, I was like, no, I got to do it. And I tell people all the time, like, before that day, I had been able to lead. God had blessed me with the ability to lead worship and sing, and gave me lots of opportunities. But I was a performer. And on that night, God turned me into a worship leader. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if my talent is better. I don't know if my voice is better. But I know that my heart is a lot better. So I was able to do that and lift him up. So that's really where God did not waste that hurt. He has grown me through that tremendously, and I hope that I've been able to help others with that, because, again, I know what it feels like to be in shock that something like this has happened, but I also now know that thoughts and prayers are action.
Well, they really are, but I think what you just said is huge for somebody listening right now, Anthony, that a lot of times when we're hurting, you know, Satan says, why do you want to worship God? If he loved you, he wouldn't let that happen to you. And you admitted, you know, I love, that's why you and I are so close, we're very transparent with each other and with God. And yet through your pain and wrestling with God about what happened, the unexpected death of John and Scarlett and that awful plane crash on August 31st, 2006, Flight 5191 at Bluegrass Airport, yet when we worship out of our pain, I think that's when our faith becomes real. And it's okay that tears are rolling down our face and we can't sing the words as eloquently as you might normally. It was true heartfelt worship. So I think you can say to people that, you know, even though you don't feel like worshiping, try to do it through your pain, because there is actually healing in that. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I've never walked away from an encounter with God in worship where I didn't feel better for it, no matter what I felt like. You know, you wake up, you've got a headache, you ate some bad sushi or whatever the night before. You know, Sunday morning, it's cold, it's snowy, it's rainy, it's too hot. I mean, all these excuses in the world. The bed feels good, you know. I got to watch the football game today. All the excuses in the world. I've never regretted worshiping God. Never once. And even more so in pain. A few years later, when my cousin Brian was shot in a hunting accident, on the Good Friday, he was buried on Easter weekend, and on Good Friday, I spent that Friday evening worshiping. And I went to our church. We were having a Good Friday service, and my friend Todd Ballard was leading worship, and there were a lot of people there. And fortunately, I was able to sneak over into the balcony where I could just be there, me and God. And there was hurt in my heart, but there was hope in that hurt, because, again, God's still on the throne.
I love that. Sounds like it might be a song. There's hope in the hurt, man. Well, and that's what you have modeled through that. You know, you talked there also about your cousin also dying way too young, tragically shot. And, you know, I think that's the thing for people that we have to realize that, you know, our hope is not in our circumstances, it's in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yet, I know for you and me, I think the times that I've grown in my faith the most is when I have hurt.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because you're totally, when we're not hurting, when things are going good, I think we forget to rely on God. I think we take God for granted a lot. You know, for me, I've seen it just happen so many times with the ministries I've been a part of, and everywhere I can stand on my own, and there's some spotlight, then I feel like maybe I'm doing stuff on my own. But it's when those times when you got nothing else to hold on to, you don't need anything else to hold on to. When God is all you've got, he's all you need.
Well, I remember hearing a song when I was going through my divorce and bankruptcy and all in the flood and all that many years ago called Still I Will Worship You. Willow Creek Community Church is where I heard. I was at a conference, and it says, Still I Will Worship You in the Midnight Fire. And so I just want to encourage somebody right now listening, you may not feel like worshiping because you are hurting and you may be angry at God. As Anthony said, you know, he was, but that's okay. God's a big, big God. He can handle that. And so I want to challenge you, encourage you to worship him. Even through the pain and heartache, it's okay to have tears. It's okay. Just worship and you'll be amazed how much better you'll feel. Well, AC, I know one of the things that you've done to make like what was meant for evil, you've used it for good. Talk about some of the things that you've done to honor John's life through this tragedy.
Yeah, so I lead a ministry now called Forge Men's Ministry, and we just try and use community and accountability and authenticity to help men grow closer to God and be the men they want to be. Each year that we have been in existence, we have a man camp. I've been able to scholarship some people to come to that, and a few other things. And it seems like every year I pray on the anniversary of the plane crash, God, bring me a guy today who needs this retreat. And he always has. He's never – it works out perfect. So I've been able to let people go and be blessed by that. I've coached baseball here in town for a long time. And, you know, for the longest time, John was number 33, and I always wore number 33 as my number as a coach and would never let a player. So I've had to argue with some parents about, my son wants to be 33. I was like, he ain't good enough to be 33. But this past spring, for the first time, I got to put 33 on another player's back, and his name's Abram Jonathan Combs. So named my son after John. that's probably the highlight of my career as a coach. All the wins, losses, championships, you know, kids getting scholarships, none of that measured up to watching my little boy put 33 on his back. And now when he signs his name, he puts 33 out by it. So that's been pretty cool. But one of the best things I got to do was obviously because of a relationship with Keith Madison. And John and I had already been talking about going to the Dominican Republic on a SCORE international mission trip to coach baseball with Coach Madison and you know, help with some orphanages and build houses and feed the hungry down there and do it through the game of baseball. And I was able to do so when John obviously lost his life, I just kind of put that on the back burner. And 6 years ago, through the generosity of Steve and Pat Smith and the support, because Steve said, I'm going too, so you have to go. So every excuse I came up with, he trumped with, I'm going, so you have to go. I was able to go to the Dominican Republic and share the testimony of John on a bus. And it was great because there were two buses. On the way there, I shared it with one group, and I got on another bus, and we had about a 40-minute drive. I got to share his story, how he changed my life. But somehow at the clinic we did that day, God just impressed on my heart to give away everything I had on. So on the way on the bus trip back, the second group got to see a whole lot more of me than they did on the first trip. But on that island, I got to share that testimony and tell people about his life and how, you know, the game of baseball, something that we love, God's so great because through something that we both love so much, we get to tell other people about Jesus. So that was an incredible event for me as well.
Well, I love that, and you know, that's the thing. We talked about, I believe, either earlier or might have been yesterday's program, that if we allow, God will not waste a hurt in our lives. And I've heard Joyce Meyer say, you either become bitter or better. And I'm so proud of you and through your servant leadership that you've chosen to make it a better thing. Another thing that you do is you've been chaplain for the Lexington Legends for several years. So you want to pour into other young baseball players while they are still formative. And we've had some pretty good players come through here. In fact, yeah. MVP of the World Series.
Yeah, MVP. Last year's MVP of the league, Jose Altuve, was one of my guys. And the guy that's probably going to maybe win the Triple Crown this year, J.D. Martinez, has been a guy that I got to minister to. And, you know, the thing I tell those guys every day is that don't take tomorrow for granted because live every day to its fullest and always find God in every moment of your life. So it's been a great opportunity to do that. And here I get a chance. This is my 10th season. So and as of today, we're sitting in first place in the division. So we may actually win a pennant this fall. So
it's gotta be the prayers, man. I'm telling you what.
yeah, prayers and some good hitting. But I will say this, on that mission trip, and we talked about this, and you know the story. I got on that mission trip, and there's a guy in my life that I had literally been avoiding for 5-6 years because of something that he had done in my life. And he really didn't do anything directly to me, but he had done something that caused a lot of hurt for me and a lot of people that I cared about, and that was my old pastor, Whit Criswell. I had even gone so far as one night in a restaurant, I saw him, and I just didn't want to see him because I was afraid I might do something, say something I shouldn't. So I asked a person at the restaurant if I could exit through the kitchen, and they let me. We got on that mission trip down there that I was supposed to be on with John, and I ended up being on that trip and in the team, and the first person I run into on that island was Whit, and God just basically told me, said, you can't run from him now. You can't swim back home. So on that trip and on that very day that I got to share my story of John's life, Whit was with me on that team, and he shared his story on the bus with the other guys. But God just told me on that field that day, he said, you've been doing a good job of letting stuff go. Now it's time for you to ask for forgiveness. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't do anything that I need forgiveness for. And he said, you've hated him in your heart for 7 years. It's time to forgive him. So I stood on that baseball field in front of all these guys, pro baseball players all the way down to high school baseball players, and I asked for his forgiveness. I said, could you forgive me for what I felt for you in my heart? And he did. We hugged, and you know, we've been friends ever since. So
well, that's powerful, and we've got to end on that, unfortunately. But Anthony's got a powerful story. Remember him and his family, Flight 5191, the anniversary, August 31st, 12th anniversary this year. I'm Greg Horn with Anthony Combs. This is Hope is Here.